Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, we are just excited to be here with you guys this morning. I just want to just, let's just praise God for our worship team. Let's just give them praise this morning. I have a very good opportunity every weekend to go out with my amazing worship team. I love them. The relationship we have built this semester has been amazing. Let's pray. I want to praise God for our leader. I don't think we get to thank him enough. We don't get to go out with him a lot, but we want to thank God for Aaron today for being here with us. Amazing. He worked so hard for not just our team, but all the other teams that are out today. And we just praise God for him today. And Ben, we don't leave Ben out. He is our communications with us. Let's praise God for Ben. This morning. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just pray and then we're going to get right into it. I'm excited. I had a sermon that I was going to preach when I got here. God said, I know I want you to preach something else. When we got back there and prayed, I said, God led me to do something else today. So let's just pray and let's just let God move and let him come and let him speak through me today in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you. We just love you. God, we're here to lift your name as high as we can, God. God, we are ready to receive you today. God, I ask that you open hearts, minds, and souls today to receive you, God. We are ready. God, we are here. We have made it here safely, God, and we thank you for that. God, we thank you in advance for what you've already done in our lives. We thank you for what you've already done in our lives and what you are about to do, God. God, I ask that you come in this place and you explode and do whatever you want. You can show up and always say and show out in any way that you want, God. We bless your name. We love you, and we are ready to receive you. God, I ask that you just speak through me today as I'm a broken vessel. God, I ask that you hide me so far behind the cross. Only thing that your people can see is you and your glory. God, we thank you and we love you. Amen. Well, I am going to be reading from Scripture, John 10:10 today, where it says, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundant. I'm going to go back to that scripture several times. I'm going to go to several different scriptures, but I don't want you to try to keep up with me because I move a little fast sometimes and do a crash course, but I will make sure you get it. If you want the notes afterwards, I'll give them to you. Amen. Well, I just want you just to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you a question. It says, how many people feel like sometimes they are being robbed by the enemy of all kinds of things? I want you to raise your hand. How many people feel like they have been robbed by the enemy? Amen. Sometimes we feel like we're robbed by the enemy of all kinds of things in our life, things that are happening in our life, things that have happened in our life, but we feel like we are being robbed by the enemy. Well, so many times in our lives where we feel like our joy has been stolen, our dreams have been killed, in our relationships, in our family, in our finances, in our school, in our life, is being destroyed. And so when these things are happening, we tend to break down. We tend to give up. We tend to throw in the towel, a phrase I use all the time. We tend to throw in the towel. But in the world we live in, it's easy to use those words, I'm done and I can't, and or it's over. Well, when the enemy is just, and it's easy to use those words, definitely when you feel like the enemy is stealing, he's killing, and he's just throwing a bunch of things in your life. Well, I want to break down that scripture. I know it talks about how the enemy does some things in our life, but this is a very powerful scripture, and I enjoy it. It says the thief. Who is the thief? The thief is Satan, the devil. He's the enemy. It says he comes to, what does he come to do? Satan, he is trying to come against all God's children and the followers of God. He is trying to come to take things from you, to destroy and kill things in your life, and only... There's these group of words that the enemy only wants to fulfill. He only wants to kill, steal, and destroy things in your life. It says to steal. He wants to come and steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to even steal your family. Anything that is loose from you, he wants to come and try to take a hold of. The enemy tries to do that, but we're going to talk about how we can resist that today and how we can get all those things back that he has stolen and killed and destroyed in our lives. It says to kill and destroy. These two actually work together. So the devil wants to come and kill and destroy. I want you to listen to this because this might be you, and I want you really to just follow me on this because it says he wants to come and kill and destroy your purpose, your desire, your vision, your gifts, your marriage, your family, the calling that God has over your life. He even wants to come and to kill and destroy your life. Some people don't think that, but and it's also your destiny, the promise and your blessing that God has for you and your future. In your future. Well, we're going to continue to break down the scripture, but I want to stop for a second. That over the years, if you can remember, how many people have felt like they have lost some things that we've talked, that I just mentioned above? You might not be feeling that right now, but you felt like maybe a year ago, the enemy tried to take you. The enemy tried to take your family. The enemy tried to do all these things. I want you just to think about that for a second. I want you just to really focus in on this. It says, let's go back to scripture. It says, I have come that you may have life, and you may have life abundant. You may have life abundant. Who's they? Who is he talking about in the scripture? He's talking about you and me, the followers, people who follow God. And I'm not just going to say Christians, but I want to say God's people, people who are living their life according to the Bible. Those are who he's talking about, that you may have life and you may have it abundant. Unlike the thief, the enemy, Satan, the Lord does not come for selfish reasons. He comes to give, not to get. And that's the difference from, there's so many differences from Satan and God, but it says Satan wants to take things from you. Satan only wants something, but God said, I am just here to give you something. I'm not trying to take anything from you. I just want to give you something. But the enemy wants to get things. He wants to take it from you. He don't want anything else but just to take things from you. He's not here to give you anything, but just to take things from you. It says he comes that people may have life and have it, that they may have it meaningful, purposeful, joyful, and eternal. We receive this abundant life the moment we accept him as our Lord and Savior. We receive this abundant life the moment we accept him as our Lord and Savior. So let's talk about that word. It said the word abundant in Greek is perision, meaning exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more, a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would ever expect or anticipate. I love that. So in short, Jesus promises us a life far better than the one we could ever imagine. A concept that in 1 Corinthians 2:9, where it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. No eye has seen what God has prepared for us. What God has prepared for us. And I want to go to the sermon that I was going to preach, because this goes to, it kind of ties in together. And then the sermon I was going to preach today was about our race. Was about our race to where we want to be. And I was coming from 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, 24, 26, where it says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. They run in such a way to get a prize. Everyone who competes in games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. That scripture, it's amazing scripture, because it's Paul, he's writing, he's using this this sports kind of way to explain to us, and it's saying that runners run, people who run in a race are cross-country runners, are track runners, they run in for a reason. They want to get the crown at the end. They want to get the trophy at the end. They want to be victorious. They want to say, oh, I won that race. I beat everybody. I came in first place. But if you notice that, only one person is going to get that first place win, right? Only one person is going to win first place. But in the scripture, God says, I will give it to everybody, those who follow me. We're all running in this race. We're all trying to get to the end. But God said, you won't be the only person that's going to receive the crown, but we all will receive the crown and have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. And if in the scripture, it says the metaphor, it helps us understand, and we can use that to really help us in our Christian life. And it's running a race, fighting as a boxer, and competing for a prize. We observe that our principle is common to both athletes and Christians. So we have running a race, fighting as a boxer, and competing for a prize. But as a Christian, the need of motivation, the need of self-control, and the need of exercise, these are all necessary to obtain the prize. These are all necessary to obtain the prize. And the word obtain, it means to apprehend, attain, obtain, and find. It's an allusion to public games to obtain the prize with the idea of eager and strenuous excursion to grasp and seize upon. So whether you're an athlete or you're a Christian, or even if you're both, there are three things necessary to obtain the prize. The importance of motivation. The importance of motivation is the first thing. It says proper motivation is required to win in a specific motivation you have. So in a race, we have runners, they're running for a reason. So this is talking about, what is the reason we are running? What's the motivation that keeps us going? And there's, like I said, different motives to make us run. There's different reasons why people run. We talk about athletes for a second. Some run to win. Some run just for their health. And some are just running just to be running. No specific reason to run. They're just running. They don't care if they win. They don't care if they lose. They're just going to run the race. But it says a successful athlete is motivated by the gold medal, the crown, and most importantly, the fame and the glory. In 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." So in the life of a Christian, again, the proper motivation, likewise, to win. There is a motivation that we have to have to get where we want to go. Like I said, there's different motives. Some are Christians to please their conscience or to please other people. Some are running to please other people. Well, some Christians, because of the present blessings, the peace of mind and the fellowship. It says some such motives may have their place in the life of a Christian. Some are just doing it just because I'm supposed to be a Christian. But the successful Christian is motivated by what lies at the end of the race, an imperishable crown. In the scripture this morning, it says that everyone who competes in a race will not get a crown, but as Christian, those of us who have been in the race will have an everlasting one. And I love the scripture in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 through 8. It says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." This scripture really motivated Paul, and it should really motivate all of us today. What do you want God to say when you get to the finish line? I know I want to hear him say, "You were a good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. You followed what I asked you to do in this Bible. You did what I wanted you to do, and you are here. You have made it. Thank you, good and faithful servant." And then we'll talk about in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And his inheritance, they can perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." It says the incorruptible inheritance that waits for us. When it's time, there won't be none of the things that we see today. It's going to be all different. No more sickness, no more death, none of those things. It says in 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14, it says, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth." How many of you are ready for a new heaven and a new earth? Amen. Amen. "Where righteousness dwells." So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, it says to make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Just as Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I know I'm talking about a lot of scriptures, but I just love it. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So my question for you, I want you just to think about this as we go on. What motivates you as a Christian to continue to run the faith, continue to run the race, even when the enemy is coming and stealing and killing and destroying things in your life? What is your motivation to keep you going, to make sure you are on your way to the cross? What is your motivation? Is it obtaining the prize at the end? Or is it some other selfish reason? Or is it some other thing that's motivating you to get there? If so, really listen to this next part. It says the importance of self-control. The importance of self-control. Well, let's talk about in the life of an athlete. A successful athlete are very temperate in all things. They exercise self-control in such things like their diet, the amount of sleep they get, following their training and practice schedules. Self-control means doing it even when you don't feel like it. Like a football player that is playing and pouring down rain or when it's snowing outside and it's freezing cold. But in the life of a Christian, like I said, self-control is necessary for all of us. It is necessary for us to make sure that we still are going even when we don't feel like it. Even when we don't feel like it. I know a lot of times when we feel like the enemy, he's coming to take things from us. He's coming to do all these things in our life, to kill and to steal and to destroy. And he puts you in this storm. And you are just sitting in the storm, but you feel like, I'm already in the storm. There's no way that I'm going to be able to get out of it, so I'm just going to stay right here in it. I'm going to stay right here in this storm. But we have to have self-control. And the Bible talks about we have to be able to get back up and say, I'm going to do everything I need to do to make it to the cross. Amen? God said, you have to get back up. You can't just think in your mind, I want to get up maybe tomorrow. But God said, you have to. Because if you sit in it too long, you're going to lose your faith and you're going to lose your trust and you're going to lose everything that you've learned about God and his promise and what he can do for you. So we have to still do these things when it's difficult. Just like an athlete, we have to still do these things. We have to have self-control. Christians, we have to have self-control. Self-control is necessary to have a proper motivation. Without it, motivation will not succeed. And with motivation and self-control, that brings me to my last point on this one, so the importance of exercise. In the life of an athlete, I want to keep comparing the athlete into us today, because that's just what Paul did in the scriptures. The exercise performed by athletes is very impressive. You think of a long-distance runner, they train 10 to 20 miles a day. And swimmers swim 10 miles a day to train and practice. You think of a gymnast, they work out 8 to 9 hours a day. And this exercise, it's very essential for an athlete to be competitive, to endure the hardships of competition, and you know what every athlete wants, to gain the victory. To gain the victory. But in the life of a Christian, there is a need for a godly exercise. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. It says offering benefits for life now. And life to come. It's offering benefits for life now. That's what the scripture is doing, offering what's going to happen, what can happen in your life now, and what's to come. Well, examples of good spiritual exercise is diligence in rightly handling the word. It talks about that in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And also communicating with the Lord in prayer and meditating on his words. And there was something else I found when I was doing this, is meditating not just on his word, but meditating on things that are happening in your life so that you can use what you've learned to fix those things by yourself. It says also offering diligent, fervent service to the Lord. These are all things we have to exercise so that we can get where we want to go. In 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, however, as it is written, and I love it, it says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. All these things we talk about, it just amazes me about what there is to come. what is that waiting down there? What is it? I know God said there will be no more death. There will be no more. He said the lame will leap. The dead will rise. I just think about that. I wonder, what is it going to be like? What is that? When that day comes, what is it going to be like? I want you to start thinking about that now. Thinking about your life now to figure out, are you going to be there? I know sometimes it's hard, but you have to think to yourself, am I doing everything right in my life to make sure that I'm going to get to that paradise, get to wherever, whatever God has in store for me there? You have to think about your life in this moment. How many people have heard that song, Mary, Did You Know? Raise your hand, Mary, Did You Know? Well, there's one verse in that song. I'm not going to sing it. I can't sing. Well, there's one verse in that song that I really love. It says, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. And then it goes on to say, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Just think about that. Think about people in your family. Think about what people you have seen. Think about people you have lost. Those people who were faithful. Those people who kept the faith, who trusted in God, but they are no longer here with us. You will meet them again. Amen. Says they will rise. The dead will be resurrected so they can enjoy the eternal life right here with us. I myself have been through storms. I know I'm not the only one. So many times where I felt like I was tired and I just want to give up. I always say, by the grace of God, I endured and I kept on the race. Because I just want to see when I get there what it's going to be like. There's a song that says, it says, I can only imagine what it will be like when I'm standing by your side. And that just keeps me going. I don't know about you, but that keeps me going. That keeps me when I'm dealing with something that I have to just put all that stuff to the side and just say, I can only imagine. Because if I stop now, I won't imagine that. I won't get to see that. So we have to keep on the race so we can get there and we can see what God has in store for us. What God has in store for us. In 2 Timothy, like I said, this is what we want to be said to us when we finish our race. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. And I praise God every day just for that. Just for the promise that he tells us in the Bible. He promises that I will give you life, and I will give you life abundant. The things that you're dealing with now only last for a season because I have come to give you life. And when it's time, you will have life abundant. You won't have to worry about anything. You won't have to worry about the enemy no more. He won't be able to come against your family, come against your friends, come against your life, come against your health and your finance. None of those things. As he says, I am going to give you life. I will give you life abundant. There's nobody that's going to be able to stop me from that. Amen. And we want to be prepared for that. We want to be ready to receive that in the name of Jesus. We want to be ready to receive that. So I titled this sermon today, Refresh, Reconstruct, and Reclaim. We want to make it, so we have to tell the enemy right now today, I'm sorry, I am so sorry, but I need it back. I need to reclaim what you have taken from me. I need to reconstruct what you have destroyed in my life. And I need to refresh the things that you have killed. I came here to tell somebody that it is time to get your happiness. It's time to get your joy. It's time to get your life back in the name of Jesus, because the enemy has tried to come against you, not just you, but your children, come against you in your family, come against you in your job, come against you in your ministry, come against you in your purpose, in your desire, in your life. The enemy is trying to take those things from you, but God said, I have come to give you life, and I will give you life abundant. No matter what the enemy is trying to do, he must go, he must flee in the name of Jesus, so that I can give you that. Amen. So that I can give you that today. Amen. There's no longer, we say no longer, no longer the enemy can come against us. It says in James 4:7, it says, therefore submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. And it says, he will flee. I want you to tell your neighbor, he will flee. He will flee. If you listen to that scripture, it says, submit yourself to God, meaning follow, believe, build that relationship, and keep the faith. It didn't say he might or one day or next year. It says he will flee right now. When you declare in the name of Jesus. We're going to talk about what we need to declare when we feel like the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Some people don't know how to get it back. I was at that time in my life where I didn't know how I was going to get my life back. I was in too deep. I was in too deep with the enemy. He was already in control of my life. Some of you maybe feel like he's already in control of my life. He's already taken so much from me. He's already stolen and killed so many things in my life. I don't know how to get it back. But I'm here to tell somebody today, it's easy. It's easy when you submit yourself. It's easy when you surrender it all to God. It's easy when you let God have it all. When you come, when you say, God, I'm ready for you just to take over my life. I'm ready for you to take over my life today. And sometimes, I always say, sometimes you just got to sit in your bedroom, in your living room, wherever you are, come to church, and you just got to sit and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to come and control my life. I'm ready for you to come and take over. I'm ready for you to come and help me get all those things back. And sometimes I sit there and I say, I'm sorry, devil, but you got to go. You have got to get out of my life. You have to go. I need my life back. I need my purpose. I need my family back. You have tried and you have succeeded sometimes with taking those things from me. But today, I'm sorry, but I need it back. I need it all back so that I can make sure that I'm on the race that I need to be on. I'm on the right path. And I stand up here, I just think about so many different songs that are going through my head where it says, he is the way maker. Amen. He is the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. And I just love it. I stand up here in awe just what God can do. What God can do for me, what he can do for all of you. No matter if you're in ministry, no matter where you are in your life, God said, I can do it. I will do it. If you just submit yourself, surrender it all to me. God said, he will make all those crooked paths straight. He will turn you from wherever you was going back to where you need to be. Get back on track. Sometimes people get off track, but God said, I'm going to bring you back on track. Mm-hmm. But when I get you on track, there's things that you need to do. We talked about you need to exercise your faith. The importance of self-control. And you have to have a motivation. You have to be motivated to get where we want to go. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? We have to be motivated to get where we want to go. And that's to eternal life. We want to live a life abundant. We want to live a life with God where, and that song can come to my head where I can only imagine, how many people just can imagine what it will be like? What it will be like. It's amazing. It's amazing about what it's going to be like. And I think about that all the time, like I said, when I'm dealing with something. You should too. What it's going to be like when you walk by his side. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. He says, will I sing hallelujah? Will I dance? What will you do? Because you're gonna feel a sense of excitement. But it's gonna be so overwhelming, you're gonna just be feeling, oh, I'm here, I'm with God. But look, I did it. I kept the faith. I ran that race. I did what he wanted me to do. And here I am. Here I am. Think about when we're in church, we feel the presence of God. Think about the presence that's going to be there. Think about the presence that's going to be there. I encourage you today, if that's you, if you feel like that the enemy has stolen and killed and destroyed things in your life, I just pray today that you are able to receive, you're able to refresh, reconstruct, and reclaim all of those things today. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that he can't have you no more. I pray that over you right now, that the enemy cannot have you anymore. He cannot have your life. He can't have anything. He can't have anything anymore right now. I just think about some things right now that over the past couple weeks that I feel like the enemy is trying to steal from me. But today, I just want to let him know that you will not. You will not take those things from me, because I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Say that to yourself. I am a child of God, and you will not come against me. You will not come against the promise that God has before my life. He can't do it. He won't do it. But when you feel like that, I just want you to remember, I can only just only imagine what it's going to be like when you walk by his side. I can only imagine what it will be like when you walk by his side. I want you to remember that. Say that sometimes. It's I can only imagine. If you know the song, you should sing it wherever you are. If you're at work, if you're at school, if you're wherever you're at, you say, I can only imagine. When your boss is getting on your nerves, you can just say, I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I walk by your side. When you're in class and you just feel like, oh, I got a test next week. I know I'm not going to pass it, but I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I walk by your side. When you have family that's getting on your nerves and you're tired of them, they keep calling you, asking you for something. I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I walk by your side. In the name of Jesus, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you right now, God, as humbly as we know how. God, we thank you. We love you. We praise your holy name today. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence today, God. We thank you for your presence today, God. God, we don't have to welcome you right now because we know that you are already here. God, come right now and move in somebody's life. Come and move in somebody's life right now. I know I'm not the only one in this sanctuary who just feel like the enemy has stolen, has killed, and destroyed some things in my life, God. God, as we are about to worship your name with this last song, God, I ask that this congregation, God, I ask that you put it in their hearts and their minds and their souls, that they are going to sing as loud as they can to praise you, because I can only imagine what it's going to be like. What it's going to be like when I walk by your side. God, we think about that. God, we thank you for that promise. We thank you for no more death. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for telling us that you will resurrect our loved ones. You will let the dead rise. The lame will leap. The blind will see. And the deaf will hear. In the name of Jesus. God, we pray that today. We declare that today. In the name of Jesus. Because we know that name, Jesus, can break chains by itself. I know I'm not the only one in the sanctuary, God. I know you're telling me there's somebody else. There's more than one person in the sanctuary right now who needs you. Even though they feel like I am a Christian, I've been baptized, I know God, I'm faithful, but sometimes you just need to be reconstructed. You need to reclaim and refresh yourself. God, just come right now today and do what you want to in somebody's life. If you feel like he's tugging on you right now, I just want you to get out of your seat as we worship. I just want you to get out of your seat as we worship this last song. I want you to sing as loud as you can in praise to God, because I can only imagine. But if you want to reconstruct, refresh, and reclaim those things, I want you to meet me up here. I don't care how many people come up here. We are ready to reconstruct, reclaim, and refresh that today. We don't care who's looking. We don't care who's around. I think of another song that says, "For your glory, I will do anything for your glory." We thank you. Amen. Meet me up here. I don't care who you are. I want you to come up here with us. Even if you feel like I am a Christian, I think I'm on the right path, I want you to come up here so we can pray against the enemy. So we can say, "Enemy, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let you in my life. I'm not going to let you come in my life right now. I want you to come up here with me. I don't want to just pray for you. I want you to pray with me. I want to pray together as a family."
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
They said, there's people here today. There's people here today who want to be up here. But there are things that are stopping them. There are things that are on you from getting you to just let God just come and just fix it. Reconstruct and reclaim and refresh all those things. So if that's you, I just pray right now that you just tell the enemy, "Quit tugging on my shirt from the back so that God can pull you forward." He's ready. He's ready. He's a patient God, but he wants to do it right now. He's a patient God, but he is ready right now. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Keep singing. That would be great.
So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
Power and majesty. Blessing to have company and be blessed by the company, huh?
Amen.
Amen. Go visit somebody today and bless them like they blessed you today. What a wonderful blessing. This morning, we just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, team. Everybody, let's give the Lord a great applause. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the call upon your lives, and we pray blessings upon you in your future. We pray grace be poured out abundantly upon you, and that the peace of God will carry you, and the anointing of God will be mighty upon your lives. Amen.
Let's Amen. Praise God for this young lady right here, back here today, who just said, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready for God to come and control my life. Let's pray.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. If you want to, just be seated for just a second. Brother Dave, would you come? Dave's got a couple of things he wants to share with us about the building and what you're seeing real quick, and then we'll just dismiss. And there is lunch. Please stay for lunch. And we'll bless the food after Dave. We'll ask Dave.
Dear Lord, as we go about the rest of our day, we give thanks to thee for the many pleasures that you bring upon us every day. We ask, Lord, that as we wrap up this morning's sermon, that we turn around and share with each other your continued love as we go about taking bread across the way in the schoolhouse. We give thanks to you, Lord, as always, in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, tough act to follow, wasn't it? Sure glad I'm not giving a sermon because I couldn't compete with that. You know, there's something else I can't quite compete with either. There's a lot of things that go on. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes in anything that we do. I mean, we take somebody like Ann who cleans the building every week for us. We don't think of those things, but you give thought to the fact that there's construction going on, and as the construction's going on, there's pipes going on under the ground that we don't take a look at. There's many, 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 many things that I think we don't really pay much attention to. We had a meeting last week
the elders and the deacons got together on kind of an impromptu, in the fact that there's many things that happen while you're doing this construction that needs extra tuning, a little tweak here, a little tweak there. And so we got together and had a meeting, and we solved a lot of the little incidents that needed taking care of. One of those was the fact that we decided that it's not going to work well for us guys to try to sit there and decorate this building. So we've decided to turn together and put together a team of girls and let them handle that, and I'm sure they'll do a very good job of it. Some of you might have noticed that the cross is missing off the front of the building. We went up along about a year ago, and we refastened it. It was coming loose, and it still was in serious need of remounting. So while we were up there, we took a look at it and realized that it had taken a beating over a period of time. The bugs were eating it up, and it was deteriorating. So we have taken it down. We're going to turn around and replace it. The only suggestion I've received so far on what we would like to do with it is make an exact duplicate of it. So very similar to what Salviza has on the Baptist Church up there. It's a cross that looks identical to the one we had, only it's made out of aluminum, same color and everything. So that's one suggestion. We're wide open for any others. The electric's in, as you know. We had the main service put into the building. It's all attached. We have a light up there on the pole. We're going to be putting another light on the peak of the building so that the parking lot will be completely lit from all directions as people enter into it. We're awaiting the electricians to come in and do the electric on the inside of the building, but the outside is pretty much taken care of. The one thing that we have got remaining is we need to turn around and hook up some power for the air conditioner units. The pad is in already. It's all set to go. We've turned around. We've put in the basic platform where we're going to turn around and pour the top of the porch over here, and then there'll be a awning going over the top of it. So that's pretty much up to date. The plumber's already applied for local permits. He's up in Frankfurt applying for permits up in Frankfurt. We have to go through that routine now. We're awaiting Kid Glass to come up with a door. Once we close in the door, the building will be basically secure on the inside, ready for heating, and then we can open the two buildings together. Ricky went down a couple of days ago, and he picked up a couple of staircases. We're going to put a staircase in there up to the attic and one back in the crying room, so we have real good access for the two of them. So you can see he's very busy at this point, too. Out back, here's a new retaining wall. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to look at it yet or not, but as you're crossing over from one building to the other, you'll see we put in a brand new retaining wall to hold back the dirt and make access for a new sidewalk. The sidewalk will completely encase around the building when it's done. There will be a ramp up and down to the sheer door over here in the new place for handicapped. The staircase that we now have, the wooden staircase that we have across between the two buildings, will disappear altogether. There's no need for handicap between the two buildings. Both buildings have got upper and lower handicapped access, so we're going to put stairs on either side and flat pavement across the bottom. That'll also open up the avenue for someday in the future. We're going to turn around and put a canopy over the top of that. That's pretty much what we got, where we stand today. So.
Amen. Thank you for the update. And anybody who hadn't looked at it, please go out and have a look. It's really great. And again, thank you, team. We just want to say thank you. Y'all are blessed, and you're a blessing. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this wonderful day and the experience that we've got to have in your presence. We pray your blessings would continually remain upon each and every one of us and on our families, protect our families. We pray for our pastor and his wife as they've got some time away. And we bless them and we pray you'd bring him back safely. Thank you for healing his back, restoring him to wholeness in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless this food now to the nourishment to our bodies. We thank you that you are more than enough in every circumstance. And Father, thank you for all the hands that went together to prepare this meal in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Just remember, all the offering today goes toward that building. We have already allotted an offering. Church is out of your funds. We're giving an offering to them already. The check is already made. But everything that comes in today is the fifth Sunday, goes toward retiring the dead and everything on this new building. Bless you. Be blessed this week and be a blessing to everyone you come in contact with. Go in grace.